Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing? It's Trina Mari here, and I am absolutely over the moon to have Dermot Bannon on the line. Do you realise, Dermot, that I've had practically every single person who's ever appeared on Room to Improve on this show, bar yourself?
Have you?
I was beginning to get the hint. I've had all your QSs, all of them, and I was really beginning to get the hint.
Now I'm on.
Now you're on. And I'm really getting the hint because we're practically neighbours, Dermot, and yet I still hadn't managed to get you on.
Yes, and now, look, I'm on. So make the most of me. Make the most of me.
I know. No pressure. Tell me about this, the Open Door campaign with Simon Community.
So the Open Door campaign, and most people will know what it is about at this stage because it's 20 years in existence. It's the biggest fundraiser for the Simon Community. I'm absolutely delighted to be involved in it because homelessness is such a huge problem. 13,000 people homeless, 4,000 children, like the numbers are going up year after year. So the Simon Community are doing Trojan work with people, I suppose, in emergency accommodation and helping families and all that. And that's only getting worse. So, look, it's a huge cause. Homelessness is only getting worse. And I'm really delighted to be involved. So basically what it is the RAI have teamed up with them for the last 20 years. So the RAI, or the Royal Institute of Architects of Ireland, so the institute that I'm with. And what they do is architects up and down the country in every single county give up their time. So they give up time slots of an hour, and you can book a consultation for an hour with an architect. So lots of people, I suppose when they buy an old fixer-upper, and I suppose, look, one of the things that leads into the housing crisis is the fact that there's not a huge amount of new builds being built. So people are generally, if they are buying their first home, second home, trading up, they're buying a fixer-upper. They're living in it. They're so delighted that they got the house in the first place. They live in it for the first year, and then they realise, God, the place is freezing. There's no storage. I've nowhere to hang out clothes to let them dry. And there's no utility room. I'd love a little room that we can go off to make Zoom calls or to work from home. There's lots of issues that they don't realise because they're just so over the moon that they've got a house in the first place. And a lot of people don't feel that that the problem is big enough to warrant getting in an architect to look at the whole thing. So what I love about this event is it's just 1 hour. There's no commitment. All the money goes to the Simon Community. So you can't give over any money to your architect on the day. It all has to be booked through the online system, and every cent goes to the Simon Community. Mm-hmm. So for lots of people, like, it's 120 quid for the hour. And for lots of people, like, I've designed a house. Well, the basics of a house in the hour down the country. People will come into me about storage. They'll come into me about opening up, knocking through rooms. Is it a good idea? Is it bad idea? It's amazing the myriad of questions that you'll get on the day. And what I think is great about it, for people who mightn't think that their project would warrant an architect, it's a chance to go out and see what would somebody else do, put fresh eyes onto it. Because mm-hmm. like, I know people are desperate to know. Every time I'm in a queue in any of the DIY shops or anywhere, people come up to me and they're showing me pictures of their house and say, what would you do here? What would you do that? And I'm thinking, would you ever consider kind of taking on something? Oh, I don't know. I don't think my project is big enough for an architect. Well, here is your perfect opportunity to grill an architect on anything.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think a really good design, a really good house build is when you have good collaboration with your designer. So you're not afraid to say, I don't like that, or I don't want this. And so I think if you are engaging on a bigger project, say you're deciding to build your own home, I think it's a good idea to maybe to go out and meet two or three of them and see who you click with the best, because
right,
you'll get the best results if you've got a really, really good relationship with them. And I think we're all becoming more and more interested in kind of our homes and kind of making them good and making them function. I think the days of just living in a house and having no expectations from it are gone, mm-hmm. or, you know, not wanting clever storage or not wanting, you know, like, I think watching TV shows and all that, there's so many small little spaces that are really clever and maximize things. And I think everybody wants a bit of that. And now is your chance to get it. All for €120 donation.
Very good.
To the community.
Very good.
Like,
very good.
The website.
Yeah, give it to me there. Yeah.
It's a bit complicated. It's the RIAI Simon Open Door event. But if you just Google Simon Open Door, you'll get straight to the web page. So it's RIAI SimonOpenDoor.e. You go in, you pick your county, you can look at the architects, you can look at their previous work. So that's a good idea when you're kind of picking or looking for a consultation, is click onto their website and see whose work suits you the best. And then you book your consultation online. There's no phone calls, no nothing, no going into a queue. If there's slots available, they're there, and grab them up as quick as you can.
Now, I was mentioning to you there, Dermot, just before we went on air, that I live very close to you, and you know where I live very, very well.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed, so I'm mad to get the house done up. And what I've noticed, even though it's an estate that I live in, everybody's house is completely different because people have done work over the years and some work is better than other work. And I think it's all down to the planning. Some people just rushed ahead, got a builder in, didn't really have a plan on what they were going to do. And then other people might have had drawings for years. They really thought through.
I suppose what I'm noticing now is that people are coming into me, into the office, and they're bringing in mood boards and pictures and screenshots from Instagram or Pinterest pages. And we've become very obsessed with the kind of the look of the house and, you know, what the final finishes should be, and actually not really coming to grips with the house itself. It's a bit like going in for a haircut. And like, if I brought in a picture of Ryan Gosling and I just said, can you make me look like that? Like, they'd have a lot of work cut out for them.
Ah, they wouldn't, Dermot. You're only gorgeous.
But it's like a really good design is working with what you have, okay? Mm. So instead of kind of, you know, if you live in a three-bed semi, instead of trying to make it into a Georgian mansion and kind of using all the motifs and putting pillars out the front and putting in a Georgian stair, well, what are the qualities that your house already has? Is there a nice view out onto a green? Is there a lovely tree in the back garden? Is there kind of a view beyond into the fields? Or is there nice light coming into the front of the house that maybe isn't coming into the back of the house, but yet you spend all the time... So it's really about, it's about grabbing the attributes that your house already has. So that's number one key. And secondly is, I think when you get stuck in magazines and pictures and what the final thing should look like, you're not really kind of gearing it to you and what you need. So what I always say to people is just start with a list, like a piece of paper. What are the problems that we need to solve? So like, you can have the coolest looking kitchen, but if you're still tripping over the bikes in the hall, and that was the real reason that you wanted to start the project, then there's no point. So it's to kind of make a list of the things that really frustrate you about your house, and then put that into an order, put that into a kind of priority order, and then start with that priority order from the top and work. So if you don't get down to item number 10, that's okay, because you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the whole way down to 9. And that means the house will be totally different to live in. The rest of it is all just pure aesthetic. So people do, they tend to go for a magazine look or an image of what somebody else's house might look at without actually dealing with what they have and what they need. And I think that's what an architect will help you to kind of to navigate your way through. So but that's a kind of a key thing. So, and I'd always say to people, if they're booking an appointment, go in with an open mind, because lots of people go in and say, I know exactly what I want. And then you're not giving somebody else a chance to kind of bring their creativity to it. And sometimes you can't see the woods for the trees, because you live in a house for 30 years and say, well, I would have loved to open up those two rooms, but we couldn't because there was a chimney in the way. And actually removing that chimney might be, say, 2,000. But that might be the thing that will free up and open up the entire house and make it work much better. So, you know, somebody coming in with fresh eyes will push you in the directions that you maybe wouldn't have the courage to do yourself.
Do you know what I've noticed as well? Once one person starts getting the work done in an area, everyone else starts as well, because they see the potential. And it's funny you say that about, you know, the needs that you have in your house. Like when my daughter was a baby, things like the buggy being in the hall used to drive me up the wall. But now we're at that stage, she's that bit older, we don't have the need for that. So it's kind of looking ahead as well, what you're going to need down the line. And my tastes change all the time. So I'd be a bit worried about spending a lot of money on something unless I'm 100% sure. And I'm sure you've seen that, you know, yourself. People will change their mind and their tastes will change maybe even halfway through.
And they will. And then they'll spend a fortune on something and then they'll be afraid to throw it out. And then they'll be living with a mishmash of furniture and bits and pieces in their house, and they won't get rid of it because they might have spent like 800 or 900 quid on it. But don't be afraid to kind of, if things aren't working, and get somebody in to have a look at it, and then don't be afraid to sell things, put them up on Done Deal or whatever, and get rid of them. Because, you know, there's like, your home is your sanctuary. Most of us nowadays, and I think since the pandemic, are spending huge amounts of time at home, and we enjoy being at home. And for a lot of people, they're working from home. So it's hugely important space to be. Like, if you were in an office nowadays, if you went into any big multinationals, they spend a fortune on kind of interior design and also the building itself to attract people into it and to keep people in a nice working environment. You kind of should do the same for your home. And so if things aren't working, you have to get rid of them and sell them and upcycle them. And, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but holding on to things because you've spent a good bit of money on it is not enough of a reason, because you can look at it every single day. If you absolutely hate it, get rid of it and kind of start from scratch. But, you know, be clever about it and move things on. And there's lots of people are looking for, you know, lots of people who bought new houses and don't have a huge budget for furniture are happy to get anything for a few years. So, you know, move things on in a clever way.
I feel, Dermot, like you've been peering through my window at my kitchen. And my black granite worktops that I just can't bear the sight of. But like that, I'm sure they cost an awful lot of money when they went in. Before I lived there, I'm sure they cost a bomb. And I'm kind of like, oh God, would it be a crime to pull them out? But what I really want is the light and the bright.
But you know something, okay, if something like that is a huge, like, you know, to replace your worktops is going to be 2,000 or 3,000 euros, right? And if that's way beyond the budget at the moment, then maybe it's the combination of the worktops and the paint colour and all that. Maybe sometimes it might be worth looking at, could we change other things around it to make that look better? So by maybe respraying the doors on the cabinets. So if you've got a kind of a light beige and then black, that can look very severe together. So maybe kind of doing a kind of a mushroomy grey or something like that up again. So it's not always about, I hate that, so let's get rid of it. Sometimes I think, well, can I change things around it to make that look better? Mm. Because a black worktop is not a bad thing, but it can look quite severe up against, you know, white cabinets and things like that. Maybe if there's a cheaper way to make that work a bit better, because some of the things are going to be just, it's, you know, if money is tight and the budget isn't there to do it, but you can't stand it, there might be other ways to do it. Or just even, like, I've often, people will hate the tiles on a floor or things like that. And sometimes changing up just the paint colour on the walls will tie the tiles and all of that together a bit more. So there can be other solutions to make something that isn't work, rather than getting rid of the thing that isn't working. There can be other things in the periphery that you can move around or change to make that work.
Yeah. I even found myself Googling Dermot to see if there was some sort of a place that did, they resurfaced your granite worktop, or you could paint it or something, but I'm sure that'll probably be a disaster.
You know, it will. And it's the whole reason, I suppose, the stone worktop is brilliant because it's heat resistant. It can take an awful lot of wear and tear. You can take the chicken out of the oven and put it straight down onto the worktop. So if you put another surface onto it, paint it or do something like that, the paint surface will come off. Mm. But you know, look, somebody else might have a very similar kitchen and might like it. So maybe try putting it up for sale and see what somebody takes away. And then that will give you the money to buy a new worktop.
Good idea. Good idea. It's where you were an architect or something giving me that advice. Dermot, can I ask you before I let you go? I just want to ask, are the slatted timbers, that's still very much the rage at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose, the rage, is that a thing?
If Dermot Bannon says it, everybody copies it. This is the thing.
Everybody copies it. Yeah. It's a way of adding, kind of in a really inexpensive way, of adding texture to a wall. Because I love doing it. We did it a couple of years ago, and it was probably one of the most successful in a house in Lucan on the TV show. And what we had is we had a utility room that was right slap bang in the middle of the house. And rather than kind of painting it up the same color, we did it in a slatted timber, because what it meant then is it looked like it was an object, like a piece of furniture. It almost looked movable. And that meant that the room, it's funny how putting something that's like, say if you've got a white room and then putting something that's black into it, and the black looks so alien, it kind of almost looks like it could move out of the room. It's a funny little trick that you do, so that sometimes if you want a room to look bigger and you've got an object or a room or something in it, by making it very contrasting, it can make it look like it's kind of just floating in the room as opposed to part of it, and it can actually make a room look bigger. It's a trick, and we have lots of these tricks up our sleeves. But yeah, slatted timber for me isn't really a look, it's a device that I use to kind of play tricks with space.
Okay. And Dermot, before you go, people who are looking at buying these doer uppers, is there anything that you would say look out for or avoid?
Oh, just look. I suppose always when, especially if people are starting off and it's their first home and they're looking at fixer uppers, and try and look beyond the condition of the house, because, you know, you'll do an awful lot with kind of paint and sticking it up and all that. But I would look for a good orientation. So, you know, eventually you may like to put an extension onto the back of the house. So if you can buy a house with a south-facing back garden, and if there's a garage onto it, anywhere that there's potential for the future, because, you know, this may be your first house and you might see yourself selling it on in 4 or 5 years' time. But we see now that people are staying in their houses much longer because trading up is so expensive and all of that. So I would look for a house with potential. So a garage, a side garden, a south-facing back garden. I'd look at, you know, there mightn't be a huge amount of rooms in the house, but are they nice rooms? Are they bright rooms? And try and look beyond the wallpaper and the curtains to how bright they are, how spacious each of the rooms feel. And again, if this is not the end of the road, putting an extension onto a house in 4 or 5, 6 years' time, it will be far more manageable than it might seem now. So buy a house with potential.
And ignore the avocado suite in the bathroom and the carpet
Absolutely.
In the bathroom. We've all seen that over the years.
It's easy to change. And it's, again, you mightn't have the money to clear out the bathroom now, but, you know, maybe have a bit of fun with it for a couple of years. Paint the walls bright orange. So orange and avocado, you're having a bit of crack with it. So there's ways of working with what you have.
Yeah. My neighbour was saying to me as well, you know, I was all mad to get work done almost as soon as we moved in. And she was saying to me, you know, you need to kind of live in a house sometimes to figure out what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So don't always rush into it.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good tip. And I had met new clients last week and they've just literally bought the house. They've gone sale agreed and they want to do some work on it. And I said to them, go away and live in the house for a month, because light is going to come into the house at different times of the day, and there's going to be nice shadows created, but there's also going to be little. Find out, where do you like to bring your cup of coffee to in the morning? Where does everybody gravitate towards because it's lighter, because there's more space? Kind of come back. It's much easier to put a list of what's, because they were coming to, we don't really know what to do with the house. We've got this amount of budget and we want to do something with it. I'm there. Well, I can't really solve your problems until you've lived in the house and you tell me what you love about the house and what you hate about the house, and let's solve the things that you hate. But it's like going back to the original point, taking advantage of the really cool things about the house, and you don't know what they are until you've moved into it. And it could be the fact that you're living in a house, and then through the gaps in those in the buildings across the road, at 7 o'clock every morning there's an amazing sunrise, or the sun sets over a tree at the back of that. You know, there's always going to be little things in every house that you're going to love about it. You know, it becomes your favorite thing about it. You need to discover what they are, and you also need to discover what are the things you just can't live with in this house and what really irritates you. They're the things you need to solve.
And get on with your neighbours so there's no problem when you're doing the building work.
Exactly.
Bring around a plant. Lovely. Dermot, if you're in the area, drop in for a cup of tea and you can have a nosy at the Black Granite Worktops.
Would love to.
Thanks a million. Talk to you soon. It's Thanks, Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.